And I'm so grateful this morning that God does care a great deal more for us than really what we understand. Even in those long nights, I tried to explain to the Hyatt family yesterday that there would be long nights, but God gives us a song even in the night. And He compasses us about with songs of deliverance. And He gives us songs in the night. And if you've never experienced brokenness and grief, why, it will soon come to your family and your life. I'll assure you on that. Brother Shelby's telling me that his brother-in-law, they have diagnosed him with cancer. We've been praying for him on Saturday nights, and I regret to hear that. And there's others in our midst that need prayer. Seemed like I had something else I wanted to mention before I preach this morning. And can't recall exactly what it was. Somebody else that's sick or something that I wanted to mention. I can't remember exactly what it was. Pray for them. My half-timers was kicked in. But, I appreciate everybody being here today and the Lord's goodness to us. I'm just going to try to bring what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for the morning, all right? Let's look in Psalm 25, if you would please, the book of Psalms and chapter number 25. Just simply a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David, chapter number 25. And let's stand together. You find that place in your Bible. Kind of a feeble little thought this morning, but I want to try to encourage you a little bit. Try to preach the gospel. Well, I know what I wanted to say. I've been told that Brother Shelby's mama is listening this morning. And we want to say hello to Mrs. Wilson if she's listening to us this morning. And hope that our service was a blessing to her. Hope she enjoyed the good singing. And hope the Lord will speak to her heart out of the preaching. She'll get a little something out of it too. Psalm 25 and in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to sing. God, for the joy that's filled my heart this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that's in our people and for the presence of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that today that you'd magnify yourself to every heart. Open up our eyes that we might see thee in every aspect of our life as supplying the need that we stand so greatly in need of. I pray, O Lord, that you'd save sinners today. God, that you'd teach people in the way. That you'd help us to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And express that goodness, Lord, with our life to others, that they too might be delivered from the bondage of sin. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning as we preach the gospel. Help us to stand, Lord, I pray, between the cross and hell itself. And preach to sinners. And do our best to reconcile men unto God through the preaching of the cross. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to read verse number 8 is where that we'll find our thought from or try to draw our thought from today. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Not about the way, but in the way. While we're walking with God in that way, in the light of the living, He will teach us. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, the word way or ways is mentioned 3 times in the verses that I read in your ear this morning. And David there says that He will teach sinners in the way. And if the Lord would help me a little while this morning, I want to preach on the thought, the Lord's way with a sinner. The Lord's way with a sinner. I'm thankful that when nobody else cared for me, that God came to where I was and saved me by His grace. And I'm glad that God can have His way with me as a child of Almighty God. I've found out that God will never do me wrong. He'll always do me right. And it's my desire to humbly yield myself to God to the best of my ability and let God have His wonderful way in my heart and in my life. Now, David, when he writes this psalm, he's writing in retrospect. That is, he's looking back over his life. David is an elder statesman at this particular time in his life. And I know that because of what the Bible said in verse number 7. He said there, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression." And I'd have to say that all of us probably feel that way this morning. I'm going to tell you, as a young man, or any young man, we're pretty heady and high-minded, and pretty self-willed and pretty rebellious toward God. And it's easy for an old man to get in trouble. But I'm going to tell you, it's real easy today for young men and for young women to get in trouble. But I'm glad that there is a God that stands ready, my friend, to forgive us even of the sins of our youth. And to some degree, but David is probably talking about sins of ignorance. I marvel at these men that preach and declare that we can live above sin. You realize this morning that there are sins of ignorance that we, even as a child of God, are prone to fall into and don't even realize that we have sinned against God until sometime down the road He will shine light upon that sin and make us aware of it. But I'm glad today that God will forgive even the sins of our youth and the times that we transgress the law of God. Somebody said, what is transgression? It's stepping over God's line. It's disobeying God. Somebody said, well, I never have disobeyed God. Well, the Bible said, honor your parents. Have you done that? The Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Have we done that? I'm going to tell you, friend, there are so many things that we sin and don't even realize that it's sin. But thank God in the economy of redemption that God has set aside, my friend, a provision even for the sins and transgressions that we commit and don't even realize we're committing them. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. There's some sins He'll bring to our remembrance, but there's others that He'll just forgive, my friend, because of His love and mercy for us. Thanks be unto God for that. Now, David here is a man that can now speak from experience. He can speak by experience and from knowledge and from understanding because he is an older man. I want to tell some of you young buzzards in here something. Bless your heart. Your mommies and daddies and grandpas not as dumb as you think they are. Oh, Brother Hall is just old and out of step with time. No, Brother Hall ain't out of step with time. Brother Hall's got some years on him. I've been down the road, been there, done that, got a t-shirt. I've experienced some things that if by the grace of God that I can preach and help you to avoid, I'm going to preach them and by God's grace help you to avoid some of the mess and some of the sin and some of the trouble that I've experienced in my own life. But at the same time, I'm going to do my best to tell you about God and my experiences with Him. I tell you what I heard Brother Willis say the other week. He said some people, man, come up to me one time and said, Brother Willis said, you preach like you want us to do everything that you say. And Brother Willis said, amen, it finally got a hold of you. It finally got a hold of that man. Yes, sir. I preach from experience a great deal. And what I preach, I want you to do in your life. So you can look back over that. Hey, when David looked back over his life, my friend, he's not guessing about God. He is not wondering about God. He's not saying, well, God might have been good. God may have done it this way. He said, good and upright is the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you say that because you've heard me say it. And some of us can say it because the Bible declares it. But David had experienced the goodness of God. Remember, it was David that was compassed about with the snares of death and the floods of ungodly men made him afraid. But it was in that time of trouble and distress that he called upon the Lord. And the Bible says that God delivered me out of all of my troubles. I want to say, my friend, you're looking at a man that can testify to you by experience that God is good and upright and that He will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Hallelujah to God. We serve a God that loves us and cares for us, and He's got His way in the whirlwind, but He's also, bless your heart, got His way with sinners. The Lord's way with sinners. David said, good and upright is the Lord. Now you better underline that word is in your Bible. I want to ask you something. If sickness came to your life, would we have to rewrite verse 8 and say good and upright was the Lord? If famine come to our life, or if we had the financial reverb, would we have to rewrite that and say, good and upright was the Lord? No, sir, I'm telling you that word is a present tense verb. That means that God is good and upright all the time and in every way. He's good and upright. God's never made a mistake, my friend. I don't understand it. Why we have to be sick. Why we have to be troubled. Why we have to be grieved. I don't understand why loved ones have to be separated from us in death and so on and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that regardless, my friend, God, good and upright, is the Lord. Not was the Lord or He will be. He is good to us. David was able to say that from experience. He had experienced it. He was there when David had been delivered. He had watched God slay the Goliath, the giant. He had watched the hand of God work in a wonderful way and deliver him from Saul without ever putting his hand on Saul. He watched God deliver him in the days of Absalom and even deliver him from the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba. Oh, I'm telling you, what a great God. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. Looking back over his life, he could say, good and upright is the Lord. And because He's good and upright, therefore what was just said, because He's good and upright, He will take sinners in the way. Thank God He's have his way with sinners. I'm glad He has. Now I'm going to tell you, if the devil had his way with sinners, we'd all be in hell. The devil had his way with sinners, there'd be no provisions of the cross. No, sir, but I'm glad. Thank God, because the Lord had His way with sinners. That about 2,000 years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary, that God in the flesh, my friend, humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, went to the grave and rose again that we might be justified. And He did that He might have His way with sinners. Let Him have His way with thee. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, with me as a sinner. You know, Isaiah said this. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. He said, this is the Lord speaking. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now I'm going to tell you, because His way is exceedingly higher than our way, and His ways are past finding out. My friend, it would be advantageous for everyone in here to let God have His wonderful way in our heart and life. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I'm going to tell you, the problem comes when we're headstrong and rebellious toward God and want to have things our way rather than letting God take care of it. I'm telling you, if we'll just learn to be patient and wait on the Lord, I guarantee you He'll bring us up out of a horrible pit and deliver our soul from death, set our feet on a rock, and have His way in our life with us. Amen. Have you yielded your life, your way to Him? Have you made your ways God's ways? Hallelujah to God. His way is better than your way. I'm going to tell these young girls over here something. God's way is better than your way this morning. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can you prove that? Oh, yes, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man likes to have his own way. Amen. That's right. Man likes to have his way. Come on now. Elvis had it his way, and he's in hell this morning. Oh, I did it my way. I did it my way. I did it my way. I'm going to tell you where your way leads. It leads down, my friend, through the corridors of death and winds up in the chambers of hell, in the charred walls of the death. But God's way is an eternal way. God's way is a living way. God's way is a lighted way. God's way is a lovely way. God's way is a blessed way. God's way is a truthful way. God's way is an honest way. God's way is a right way. Oh, it's His way.
Man.
Hallelujah. That's right. Now let God have His way with you. What is God's way? What do we see in the way of a sinner? When God has His way with a sinner. I want to say the first thing I see is that God heals the sinner. Aren't you glad? Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you where I got the message. I wasn't going to say it until later, but I'm going to say it now. Boy, I'll tell you, God's had me all shook up about going to Mexico and getting on them airplanes again. Amen. But I'm glad God's got His way in her life. Amen. Yes, sir. Somebody said, well, what's the first thing God does with a sinner when He has His way with him? He heals you. I'm telling you, hey, I just read this morning, I believe, here in the book of Psalms, if I can find it, the Lord be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned great sin. I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm glad God heals us. God heals us. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Amen and amen. Oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I looked up that word, heal. You know what it means? It means to stitch up. It means to stitch up. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Hey, it's not too hard, my friend, to heal a scrape. Oh, when I was a little boy, I'm telling you, we'd have bicycle wrecks and get a little scrape. Mama would put a little mercuricone or a little methylate on that thing, and it wouldn't be long until that thing would begin to heal up. And it didn't take much healing power at all. But I'm going to tell you, every now and then that thing required a little bit more than mercuricone and methylate. Every now and then it meant a trip to the doctor's office, or the wound was a little deeper than a scrape. But it was there that the doctor, ain't I telling it right, Benny, would take that needle and that thread and put it down in that wound and stitch up those wounds. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying
Amen. Praise God. He not only takes care of the little sin in her life, but God can take care of the big sin in your life too. Amen to God. It's more than just unbelief. Amen. That's more, my friend, than robbing a candy bar, stealing a candy bar. That's more than just drinking a little beer one time or another. I'm glad that when the sin has gone deep into the soul of man, that God, my friend, can cleanse the wound and stitch up. Amen. And give health and healing to him. Amen. Some of you in here this morning, and some of us in here this morning, have sinned greater sins than others in here. Some of us have committed sin that we never dreamed a holy God would ever mend for. That sin left a wound. That sin left a wound, my friend, that we never dreamed would be healed. That's right. There used to be an old country song years ago. God help, why does God bring things like that to your mind? I think Buck Owens sang, "Wound time can't erase." In other words, the wound was so deep that time couldn't erase it. Now I'm going to tell you, there's some of us in here that's got sin that's left the wound so deep that if we lived 100 lifetimes, it couldn't be healed. But I'm glad, thank God, that one day a certain Samaritan passed by my way, crawled down in the ditch where I was at, and poured in oil and wine and bound up the wound. Deep wounds too, buddy. He healeth. He heals the sinner. Oh, I'm longing for some of you in here this morning to be healed. I'm praying some of you in here today are looking back over your life at something you've done that you never dreamed. You never dreamed that the wound would ever heal. It haunts you every day of your life. It makes you walk with a limp. The wound is so bad. Amen. It causes your mind to be dull. It affects your heart and your love that you have. And you wonder, will God ever heal it? Oh, yes, I want to say to you, let God have His way with you as a sinner this morning. And flee to that certain Samaritan that's got the oil and the wine. Run to the great physician, my friend, that can pour out the balm of Gilead and stitch up the wound, my friend, and close it up until there's not even a scar left from it. I'm glad He can close her up and not even leave a scar. Amen. I remember the last time I went to the doctor, there's that doc down there the other day was examining me, and he said, "Well," he said, "I see where they done that surgery on your back there in your back." I said, "Go down a little further on the right hand side, sir, and you'll see another one. They scars there, buddy, two of them." Now, I mean, hey, that I never dreamed. When I woke up there that morning in the hospital, and Miss Hall was there, and she said, "How you feel?" I said, "I'm going to turn over." And I realized I couldn't turn over. Amen. My back hurt. I never put my feet on the floor for 1 week, 7 solid days before I put my feet out on the floor of that hospital. And I'm going to tell you, when I woke up that morning, I never dreamed. I didn't think I'd ever walk again. I said, "This is it." I said, "The knife has gone deeper, buddy, than I ever expected, and I'll never heal." But you know, I laid there after a few days, and that thing, I began to turn and move in that bed, and Miss Hall grabbed that sheet and rolled me over, and I'd pull on that bar. And it wasn't long until I could roll and twist, and that was the day that doctor Munner said, that fellow came in there and said, "I'm going to put this back in your arm." I said, "Touch me, buddy, and it's on in here." You know what I'm saying? I couldn't have got up, but I'd have took a swing! Amen. I didn't think I could ever get up. But I'm going to tell you, I kept rolling and walling and working, and the thing began to heal just a little bit, and the flesh began to grow together, and that bone, that graft began to take place in that bone, and my back began to heal. Old Doc Zwimmer come in on that Monday, been out on vacation. He said, "Well," he said, "how far have you walked?" I said, "Doc, I ain't even got my feet on the floor yet." He said, "What?" That's what I'd like to say to some of you in here this morning. What? Oh yeah, you've been healed. Sin has left a wound. But thank God there's a great physician that wants you to put your feet on the floor. Let that wound heal. Let the scar disappear and go on for God.
Amen. He said, get out of that bed and walk now to the bathroom. I said, Doc, I've got more hoses and tubes tied up to me, praise God, than the space shuttle's got. He said, get up anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. God heals a wound. Just like He did that. Somebody, now I want to give you this. Somebody said, how does He do it, preacher? Same way He did on that the fellow that went down from Jericho and fell amongst thieves. Sin and Satan, the two thieves that robbed Him and left Him in a ditch. That's where it's left you, friend, in a ditch that you can't get out of. Wounded and in a ditch and can't get out of. And that high flying, what was he, a priest or Levite came by first. That highfalutin priest came a-walking that way, looked over and saw him, and just eased over on the other side of the road and went on down. Then here come that pious Levite and walked and looked over in there and eased on over in the side of the side of the road and walked on by him. But oh, my Bible, and I'm not reading between the lines, said, but a certain Samaritan on as he journeyed. Aren't you glad that a certain Samaritan? It's not a good Samaritan, bless your heart. It's a certain Samaritan. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good people. Oh, yes, it could have been a good man or a good angel, but it wasn't. It was a certain Samaritan that journeyed to where I was. Amen. And is that certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Amen.
And here it is, and went unto him and bound up his wounds, Amen. Pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Amen.
Now come on in the house, young folk. I won't hit this too long. I got to run. In that healing process, the first thing he done was found him.
Amen.
Found him wounded. Bible said, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, saw him. Aren't you glad there was a day, my friend? Whoa, yes! That Jesus looked out over the battlements of glory and saw you. He said, Father, there's old brother Jerome down there wounded by sin. Lord, Father, there's Sue Vincent down there. And sin has wounded her. I can see her. But oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad, thank God he saw us. But oh, that glorious day when he went beyond sin and passed by where we were, glory to God. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible said he saw him and he came to him. Oh, oh, hallelujah to God. When we could not get to where He was, He came to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Bound in the prison house of sin. Tied up by the devil. Wounds had gone very deep. But oh, there came a day when the great God of glory looked out over the battlements of heaven and saw Andrew sitting on a bar stool. And he said, Father, Andrew is sin sick. Father said, You got some oil and wine. Get him out of that ditch. And he came to where you were. Amen to God. I'm glad to first. By the way, he does see. His eyes run to and fro in the earth, beholding the good and evil. I'm going to tell you, he sees. Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad he found you one day? Huh? Aren't you glad he looked down between them pews on that night over here, honey?
Amen.
He saw you. And come ease in that pew where you was at.
Amen.
Laying there wounded, floundering. Sin and Satan had done knifed you.
Amen.
And cut deep. I mean, their sin had cut deep. in fact, so deep that if left unattended, death would certainly take place. For the wages of that sin is death. But here come the Good Samaritan. He saw you. And then he found you. He's down in that ditch where you was. And poured in that oil and that wine. The Bible said, and bound up the wound. Stitched it up. Sewed it up. Lifted you out of that ditch. Set you on his beast.
Amen.
And took you to the inn. And the Bible said, and took care of you.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He took care of you.
Amen. Amen.
So my first point is, he found you.
Yes.
The healing process, he's got to find.
Right.
Secondly, he showed favor. Come on, get up, Brother Jerome. You're healed. Get to deck now. He healed. He healed. Bound up the wound. That is, he favored him. God showed him grace. Hey, those two! The priest and the Levite could have, the Samaritan could have walked on by, the priest and the Levite did. But I'm telling you, he showed favor to that man in that ditch. And here's the point I like better than any of them, all three of them. Thirdly, in the healing process, he finds you. He favors you. And he fetches you. He had to fetch him out of that ditch if he set him on his own beast. That's a term modern day folks don't know anything about using. I don't know anything about that word. But I'm going to tell you what David said. David looked at his servant one day and said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? That servant said, yeah, there is one sorry cripple. Lame on both feet, and he's down yonder in the land of Lodibar.
Yeah.
Ain't got a leg to stand on, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
And the king said unto that servant, go fetch him.
Amen.
Go fetch him.
Amen.
From the land of Lodibar. Son, I'm glad on that wonderful day, 10 minutes past the hour, 12 o'clock, when Jesus found me and favored me. But he didn't just show favor and leave me there. He fetched me. Praise God. He lifted me. With tender hands, he lifted me out of that horrible pit. And took me down to the inn, put me on his own beast, took me down to the inn, and look here, and took care of him. You think if God took care of that fella, he won't take care of you?
Amen.
Now, folks, you look at Brother Hall. Jerome ain't preaching today. I am. Laying in the floor like a beach whale? Amen. So in Lord, the sent Lord's way with sinners, he heals you. I won't say secondly, he helps you. Every day of your life, God helps you. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I was kind of worried about that airplane. I began to study these. God said, you healed and I'm going to help you. Now look where he helps us from. Look in the book of Psalm chapter 28 and verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. And I was helped. When David get help, when he trusted, when he believed God, he got a little help. He said, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength and the saving strength of his anointing. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. He said, feed them. And lift them up forever.
Amen.
That word help means to surround. Then I'm going to tell you, I was kind of shook up about that plane ride, and God said, I'll surround you. I'll succor you. I'll help you. Now, there's some of you in here this morning that's got some tough things going on in your family. You've got loved ones that's critically ill. Family members that's sick, nine to death.
But I'm going to tell you, that's right. I'm going to tell you, we're talking about Miss Ruth a little while. I'm going to tell you what God will do. He'll help you. When you trust in Him, He's a present help in trouble. Yeah, amen to God. That's right. He'll help. The Bible said He'll surround you. He'll succor you. He'll save you. He'll bless you. He'll feed you. He'll lift you.
Amen.
Folks, stay so far down the tube, buddy, that it's hard for them to get up.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that our God. I think I've missed a whole page of notes. I've got a whole page of notes out of line. Jerome, you got me so shook up, can't even find my nose. He helps us. I want to say, thirdly, He hides us. Devil, hey, Paul said our life is hid with Christ in God. Thank God. He said, devil, don't even know where your life is at this morning. Listen to what the Bible said. Psalm 32 and verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I'm glad, thank God, there's a hiding place. And He'll preserve us in that hiding place. He'll pass by you and I in that hiding place. The Bible said in Exodus 33, verses 21 and 22, when Moses asked the Lord, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And here's what the Lord said. He said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Aren't you glad this morning there's a place by Him? After He heals that sinner in the way, I'm glad that He helped that sinner in the way. And brother, when troubles come and problems come, there is a place by Him on a rock that He'll hide you till the storm passes by. Blessed be it. He said, there's a place by me. I'm glad of that. Thank God. Hey, draw nigh to God. I'm telling you, I was praying over in the morning. God said, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. He said, look here, I'm going to show you how the devil works. Son, God was a dealing with me on them scriptures, and I was just a crying and a shouting up in that room and just a praising the Lord to have myself a time. And for about 3 weeks now, the devil's been up on my shoulder saying, the last plane ride for you, buddy. Your ministry's over. I want you to listen to me. You're going to have a hard time discerning the devil and the Lord's voice when He speaks to you in your mind. Son, that is why I am emphatic on that Bible. God's speaking to you out of that book. And here is the devil. And I'm trying to discern, Lord, is that You telling me that I'm taking my last ride? Here's what He even said. Are you ready for this? He said, remember your mother died on the 10th of August. That's the day you're coming back from down there. Said you got two, a daughter and a granddaughter born on the same day. You've got two granddaughters born on the same day. He said, I got news for you. You and your mother's going to die on the same day. You think it ain't real, friend? Think it ain't real? Buddy, and I fought that thing, and I fought that thing. God began to read in them Psalms the other night, other morning in my regular place, and God began to flood my soul. God said, hey, He said, I've healed you, and I'm going to help you. He said, in these kind of times, He said, praise God, there's a place by me in a rock. He said, I'm going to hide you there. Amen to God. And I'm going to show you the connivance of the devil. After I discerned His voice from the Lord. Oh, I'm coming back. Don't get worried. I'll be back 2 weeks from today. I'll preach the Word of God to you. But here's what the devil says after he tells you that. He said, there he goes, lying to you again. Woo! That's the devil. There goes God. When he sees he can't confuse you anymore, he'll accuse God before you. He accuses the brethren before God day and night. Bless our hearts. And he is a worthy adversary. But I'm glad that I snuggled up in that hiding place. And the Lord just covered me there with His hand. He said, now guess what? I'm going to let all my goodness, all of it. Can you imagine, well, what would happen in here if all the goodness of God passed through this place today? Woo-wee! It would be on. Oh, I love that old song. My soul has found a hiding place, not in device or creed. My suggestion to you today would be crawl up to that place on that rock that's by Him. Wiggle your way back in that cleft as deep as you can. and back in so you can see out. You get a hold of that by slow faith. And wait till all His glory passes by.
Amen.
Take away that hand.
Amen.
I don't know. I'm going to try to read it. When He passes by, He preserves us. Can you get a hold of that? I never saw that before. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me. You know what He was doing with Moses when He passed by him? Preserving him. You know what He'd done to that little old woman that was all humpbacked? When He passed by her, He preserved her. You know what He'd done to that little woman with issue of blood? 12 years. When He passed by her, He preserved her. You know what God done for you?
Amen.
And me? When He passed by where we
yes.
were.
Amen.
And hid us in the clefts of that rock.
Yes.
He's preserving us.
Woo!
Now get a hold of this. If I can just say it, it'll be worth saying. He passes by, He preserves us. I can just say it the way I want to say it. There is a second hiding place. There is a second hiding place. He said, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the His secret place." Now I want to ask you something. Where's He made us sit down together with Him at? Heavenly places. Where is He at today? He is in His pavilion. And He said, "There's a place for me." Sit down here, child.
If some of you could get a hold of that.
Yes.
I can hear the devil now. Where'd Hall go? Well, he's hidden.
I know he's around here somewhere.
He's hid, see? In His pavilion. That place by Him. Has He not given us rest? Are we not sitting down in that pavilion with His arms around us in preservation?
Shame on the devil, he done lost another realm.
I do believe the day I got saved, maybe not long after that, the devil probably knocked on my door, and when I opened up my heart's door, the devil looked in. He probably said something like this: "What are you doing here?" And in response, the Lord said, "Well, haven't you heard? Paul died. I'm living in here now."
Amen.
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 Amen. God. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord tells the devil. He tells him the same thing. I took that fella, come back here when we was building our house. I was back there and had that camouflage suit on, that hood up over my head, been over where it had been raining, nice and cold. Some young fella come on back there and he said, "I want Mrs. Hall." And I said, "Bless God, buddy. You going to have to come through me to get her, fella."
Hey, man! Aren't you glad that when the devil says, "Where's old Steve Vincent?" Jesus said, "You got to come through me to get him."
Amen.
He found a hiding place. He's in my pavilion, and there ain't no slew foot invited inside the house of God. Hit the door, Jack, and don't come back no more.
Praise God. So in his way with sinners, I got them points backwards. He heals us. He helps us. He hides us. I'm going to tell you something else he does. He hears us. For I said in my haste, that's what some of you do, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. How many times have I heard that in the last 7 or 8 years? Brother Holt, do you think I'm reprobate? Brother Holt, do you think I've been cut off? You think all hope is gone for me? David said, in my haste, I said, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication. I'm going to tell you something, friend.
Near as many people cut off as what we think are cut off. God is long-suffering and merciful, my friend, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Bless His wonderful name. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Hey, when God has His way, aren't you glad that a sinner, lowlife, slimebag, scumbag like me ought to be in hell, has got the all-hearing ear of God?
That's right.
Amen. I can get happy whether you can or not.
Praise your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. He not only hears our prayers, but listen to this. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Where did we just say we was at a while ago? In His pavilion. Hid there. David said, I'm going to offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we shout because we want somebody to see us shout. We make noise because we want somebody to hear us. And I'm going to tell you who we better be appraising. Do you know He hears that? When in the Holy Ghost you can look up toward heaven and say hallelujah to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. And worship Him in the spirit beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Lord sets the furnace and said, yes, my child, I hear you.
That's right. Amen.
When we sing, He hears us.
Amen.
See, we act like coming to church and singing is for our benefit. Oh, He hears us.
Amen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing.
Amen.
Has He showed you mercy?
Amen.
Has the Lord been good to you? David said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore,
amen.
Will He teach sinners in the way?
Amen.
Now, He heals us, helps us, hides us, hears us in His way with sinners. But the last thing I want you to see, and I like this more than any of them. Best one of the whole bunch. If you don't have your Bible open, I want you to open it and underline this. Psalm 31, verse
15.
My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them
that persecute me.
Amen.
Make thy face to shine upon thy servant.
Amen.
Save me for thy mercy's sake. He heals us, helps us, hides us, hears us. My times are in thy hands.
Right.
He holds us.
Amen.
Can you get, you know what that word times means? It means for eternity and eternity and eternity.
Amen.
In other words, from eternity's past, I don't care whether you label me or not, from eternity's past until the consummation of ages, our time has been in His hands. He holds us. I'm going to tell you, when I read that over the other day, the devil said, this is the last flight you'll make. And the Holy Ghost said, son, your times are in my hands. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I share these three things with you? Don't label me too strongly. But the time of your delivery was in His hands. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual delivery. I'm talking about your physical birth. If you think you had one thing to do with it, you're crazy. And I'm not trying to sound ugly, and I don't mean to sound vulgar. But I'm gonna be this stuff of Planned Parenthood. A man and a woman, 99% of the people born in this world, their parents did not plan for them to be delivered. And by the way, when you were conceived, they didn't know whether you was a boy, girl, or what you were.
Amen.
Do you think it took God by surprise? October the 3rd, 1946, when I was born at Napper Hospital in Scottsburg, Indiana. You know what the Lord said that day my mother delivered me? That is right on time. My time is in His hands. Brother Wayne, I was down there in the Cracker Barrel the other day getting ready to eat, and they got some little books in there, and it tells all the years, got all the years. I looked up on them. I said, I'm going to see when our family. I said, I want to see when the day I was born on. I was born on Thursday. October the 3rd, 1946 was on a Thursday. Honey, July the 11th, 1968 was on a Thursday. Tammy Lynn was born February the 26th, 1970. Want to guess what day of the week it was on? Thursday. Benny was born May the 11th, 1974. Saturday. That's the last day of the week, boy. You're the last one. And he gave birth to Mrs. Hall. August 20th, 19th. On a Sunday. You know why she was born on Sunday? That's a number of new beginnings. God give me a new beginning when He give me that lovely little old wife.
Amen.
You see, Sunday is the first day of the week, but it's also the eighth day. Glory to God. Your delivery is in His hands. He held the time of your birth in His hands. But I got news for you. Your deliverance.
Amen.
Somebody said, boy, I bet it shocked God when I got saved. If you believe that, you're stupid.
Right.
September the 13th, 1970. That is for the right old time.
Amen. Amen.
plans are in His hand. And His time is never late, never early. His time is on time.
That's one reason I know God wasn't a female. Did all you ladies hear that?
Amen.
And as I looked at Mr. Woolley yesterday, I said, family, the time of his death. And there's what God told me at the house. He said, son, your time of death is in my hands.
That's right.
Let the devil carry on like a moron.
Amen.
It'll come our time someday.
Amen.
It come Mr. Woolley's time. It come Leon's time. Friday afternoon.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, do you really believe that? Certainly I believe that. What does it say about the Lord in the fullness of time? God sent forth the Son.
Amen.
Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The Lord's way was a sinner. He heals them. He helps them. He hides them. He hears them. He holds them. Cradled in the everlasting arms of God. I love you, church. I want you to have victory. I mean that with all my heart. I want you to know that if you're truly saved, and I'm not trying to give somebody that's lost a false assurance, but I'm telling you those that are truly born again children of God, that the Lord is having His way in your life. His way. God bless you. Let's stand.
Amen.